A new three-part documentary series on Gloria Vale, examining the cult from all sides, premieres tomorrow night on TVNZ. Escaping Utopia investigates the intricate planning that goes into clandestine escapes from the West Coast community. With unprecedented access to its inner workings, the unravelling of its leadership and the pursuit of justice by the group of passionate and dedicated people known as the Gloria Vale Leavers Trust. The Trust estimates it's helped about 200 people leave in the past 10 years. But to put that in perspective for you, the average Gloria Vale family has about 12 children. There are around 600 people still living inside Gloria Vale. Around 350 of them are children. So more people live inside than out. I spoke with Liz Gregory of the Gloria Vale Leavers Trust and also with Rosanna Overcomer, who left the cult almost 11 years ago with her husband Elijah and three young children. I asked Rosie why she decided to get involved in the documentary.
I think it's probably about education for me, and people learn by other people's stories. And so I think if we can get out there, not just the people leaving side of it, but the whole story from beginning to end of why people joined, that was a big thing for me, because people can have a bit of an idea that it's just a whole bunch of crazy people over there. And to me, they're very good people. Well, a lot of them very good people who joined. They joined a purpose or a movement. They didn't join a cult. And I think it's important for people to realise that, yeah, that nobody joins a cult, and they join something that they thought was going to be a good thing, and what it is now is not what they had in mind when they joined. And so, yeah, I think that was a big reason for me, is hoping that the documentary would show a bit more of the process of people in the early days right through to current times. And just about getting the stories out there so that people can be aware of, one, how you get into something like that, two, people leaving and the complexities of it, and three, hopefully people in there get to see it and can see another side of the story as well. Yeah,
Liz, what was your perspective on this? Because there have been so many, not just documentaries, but, you know, books and all sorts of series that have been produced about Gloria Vale. What was it about this one that you also felt was something that you wanted to be part of, that you wanted to be able to tell, you know, your piece of the story?
Well, I think Rosie's right. For me as well, it was around some of that wider education. And I think it was definitely pulling in this concept that there is a network of people and supporters, and that this is a collaborative effort across New Zealand to help resettle people coming out of Gloria Vale. So yeah, just the idea of that story being told, it was a network. We didn't just wake up one day and say, wow, let's start a trust and help people leave Gloria Vale. It wasn't like that at all. So hopefully that story is able to be told, how there was a process of meeting leavers, and it came naturally out of ministry work happening in our local church. And it grew and grew into a charitable organisation. But we're not the only people helping leavers. There are hundreds of people who've left over, you know, many decades. And there are a lot of people out there who partake in assisting people to resettle.
Mm. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved, particularly in helping people when they immediately leave Gloria Vale.
Well, the story started with Rosanna's family, actually, and that was knocking on, is that 11 years, Rosie?
Yep, yeah, 31st of March, it'll be 11 years.
Wow, there we go. So, yeah, Rosie's family came to our little local church in Timaru, and there were people in that church who took a huge interest and loved on the family and assisted them, and we were just members of that church, and over time, more of Rosie's and Eli's family started coming out of Gloria Vale, and naturally our network just got more and more involved. So around 5 years ago, it became obvious that people were coming out at a higher rate than normal, and there was a need for just some more formalising of support services. And so we started the trust, and Oh, yeah, we've been very busy ever since. People are still leaving Gloria Vale, and we are just realizing how we need to upskill ourselves and educate. We're working in a really, really complex sphere. And so our role is not just helping people leave Gloria Vale. Our actual trust, we're not regularly going in there pulling people out. We're involved with a network of people who connect with people in there, connect with leavers, and we offer that support when people want it and where it's appropriate.
And when you talk about that kind of support, yes, I guess there are the practical sides of things because often people leave with, the clothes on their back and that's it. But it's not just about leaving place, it's about leaving a whole series of relationships. It's about leaving a network of coercion and control. And that would signal to me that there's a whole lot of other needs, as well as the practical ones that people leaving Gloria Vale will have a pull on.
Absolutely, and that's where we've realised the complexity of it, and there's a lot of despair from people who've been living in there, and so to come out and to try and help someone find themselves, to build a life from scratch. Research shows that sort of second generation people born in cult groups, they come out without their own identity. They have a group identity, and they have to learn who am I, what do I like, what do I value, what do I want in life, and that's a very slow process. And so, yeah, we say that those first few weeks of supplying, clothes and practical needs, that's easy. Yeah, we can do that just about with our eyes closed. It's the long-term support over many, many years that is needed. And so the more people that come out, the more people there are for us just to continue to walk the journey with.
Rosie, for you, what was your point when you were in Gloria Vale where you kind of had that inkling that perhaps not everything was as it seemed, that something was off?
Probably my first real wake-up call was our first baby, when our first baby was born. And that would have been, I don't know, I think having your own kids kind of makes you face a bit of your own issues. And it just made it all very real for me how I had grown up and that I didn't want the same for my child. At the same time, I didn't think leaving was the option. That didn't even enter my head at that point. But I knew that Glorieville wasn't a safe place, or the place I wanted to, like how it currently was, wasn't how I wanted to raise my children. So that would have been the initial thing for me. And then over the next 3 years, a lot of different things happened. And I guess once you kind of open your mind to the fact that we're not living in the best place on earth. There's things wrong here, then you actually start to see a lot more of the flaws. And then another kind of key turning point for me was being blatantly lied to about some stuff my husband had done. And I guess I realised in that moment that if the leaders have lied to me about this, then what else in my life is a lie? So kind of two significant moments there, but then a lot of other stuff that went on over those 3 years before we left.
When you say that you didn't want the same things for your child, what specifically are you meaning?
I'm talking in regards to abuse, just growing up. In my mind, like I know that abuse started with me when I was nearly seven. And I remember saying to Elijah that Honor, our eldest daughter, wasn't safe there once she turned seven. That was just in my mind that was the cutoff point. And so we had to have made some serious changes within the community before she got to that age. But yeah, we found out along the way that nobody actually wanted to change. And they just wanted to hide the abuse. And yeah, that's where it came to the point where we needed to move away from there rather than try and keep trying to make it a better place in there.
And when you talk about abuse, I don't know how far and what you're comfortable talking about with this, but what are we talking about here? How widespread? Who by?
I think I'll pretty much leave it at what I said. I was abused from a young age right through to my teens. by multiple people.
Speaking about Gloria Vale this morning on Saturday Morning with Susie Ferguson here on RNZ National, Escaping Utopia is the documentary series that is airing shortly on TVNZ. I'm speaking with my guests Liz Gregory and Rosanna Overcomer.
Yeah.
What was the experience of giving birth in Gloria Vale?
I guess in Gloria Vale, the good thing about birth is that it's very normal. And so I didn't have a huge amount of fear around it, which, like, everybody does it, so it should be fine. If they can do it, I can do it kind of mentality, which I don't think is super common out here. So on that side, good. And people around that have all done it before, so you feel supported in that way. I think the difference is that there's so much weight on you as a mother to how your birth goes, and that is a spiritual weight. So if something goes wrong during your pregnancy or your birth, then that is put back onto you as you have sinned. And I believed this myself, but and struggled with it too, that if everything wasn't going right, then what had I done wrong? And so the whole time during my pregnancy, I was just really afraid and fearful of stepping out of line at all. And we actually miscarried our first baby, and both my husband and I, like, I don't know, spent nights praying and searching our hearts, trying to figure out what sin we had committed. So, yeah, I think it's difficult. It's more difficult in that way that it becomes a really spiritual thing, that if anything doesn't go exactly perfect during your pregnancy and birth, then you have sinned. And then the actual practical side of it, at the time they had midwives who came in, so outside midwives who came in, who were great, but also kind of, I guess, not manipulate, yeah, maybe manipulated. Like, I mean, they weren't allowed to come in wearing their own clothes. They had to wear long skirts. That was a requirement. And in one of my births, well, two of them, I hemorrhaged, and the midwife wanted me to go to hospital, but the other Gloria Vale nurse, one who was training to be a midwife, said I shouldn't. And so I ended up, they got the vet to come and put a lure in my arm and give me fluids. So yeah, there's dangerous things like that too, where they don't actually value the medical system that we have very well, and they think they can do it all themselves, and that's very dangerous. And so I wouldn't want to repeat of that. And the other thing that probably was quite significantly different, and mostly for my husband actually, is that when I had babies, because I had three in Gloria Vale and I've had three out, It's all about everybody else, which is really odd. I felt like people were just coming in and out of the room the whole time, and I didn't have any say over who could come and be there. The leaders came in at different points throughout my births, and my husband felt very much pushed to the side, and he was kind of almost treated as he wasn't needed and didn't need to be there. And then the difference of having the babies out here, where it was about me and how I felt comfortable and what was best for me and the baby. And then Elijah was there to support me, and it was us, and it made it a much more beautiful experience here compared to what we had experienced in Gloria Vale.
I'm really glad that you've had good experiences, because being a new mother is quite the journey for anybody, and becoming a new mother with that as your starting point. I mean, I can't even begin to fathom how you'd have done that.
It's a big deal. Actually, I just thought I'd mention something else too, because you know how I said everybody does it, so it's kind of normal. The bad side of that is when I did have my first baby, I was 3 days into it and nobody told me anything. And I just, I thought that I was the worst mother on the planet. And I mean, I know this is normal too, but probably going to hell because I didn't know how to look after my baby. And everybody else seemed to know how to do it. And how come everybody else could do it and I didn't know what to do? But yeah, and I thought I was going to hell over it. So everything's just a little bit, it's imbalanced, or I can't think of the right terminology, but becomes a spiritual issue rather than, oh, this is actually just, this is normal, and this is your hormones, and this is,
It sounds like it's being used as another means of control.
Definitely.
Liz, when you hear what Rosie's talking about, what is going through your mind?
Yeah, my heart breaks because I hear Rosie's story, but then I've heard dozens of others. And these stories are not uncommon, unfortunately. There appear to be a lot of women who really should have been hospitalised and got the care and perhaps even that little rest in hospital the day or two after that is necessary. And that concerns me just from a medical perspective. And then there's the mental perspective that's deeply concerning for me because there's a lot of trauma that can come into someone's life through just not having your needs met. And I feel like the Lorau did drop the ball there. And I always get concerned when I hear there are professionals who've been trained and are coming into an area or a group like Lauravale, and perhaps they don't understand the mechanisms of control for the community, or perhaps they feel somewhat like they have to bow to their rules or the ways of doing things. It's a different culture. And I get worried about people in Lauravale who go and train in these kind of jobs as well. It concerns me that someone brought up in a high control group, it's going to be hard for them to undo their indoctrination, I think, to do their job perhaps as fully as they would like to. I'm sure that midwives and they're loving their care and they want to do the right thing, but I do have question marks around the role of indoctrination and where it becomes unsafe. And I hear a lot of stories of people who needed to go to hospital for other issues as well, just other medical conditions or accidents and incidents. A lot of in-house treating, very concerning, because now people have got to come out here, rebuild their lives, and they may have broken backs and issues with from birth, birthing issues. That's a worry for me.
Rosie, coming back to you, when you left the community with your family, as you say, your three children at that point and your husband, how did you do it? How did you come to that decision and then make the arrangements and take those steps to actually come to the outside world? And then what was it like?
We didn't actually make plans to live on the outside world because we had no way to make those plans, if that makes sense. There wasn't any support system set up at that point. We took a tent the day we left because we thought we'd be living in a tent. There was a hefty amount of work and issues that went on in the 3 years before I finally realised that I was just being lied to, and that these men that were apparently, or so-called, called of God and could pretty much do no wrong, actually were fallible human beings that were quite happy to lie to me to keep me and my husband apart. So yeah, that was the final decision for me, where Elijah had been ready to leave for a long time, and was kind of waiting for me to come to that point. As soon as I was ready, we made plans to leave. And I actually can't recall why we chose the date we chose, but I remember talking about just staying for a few more weeks to say our goodbyes without actually saying goodbye, but just to see our families for the last time because we thought that we probably wouldn't see them again. And so it was just a few weeks of kind of laying low and spending quality time as much as we could with the people that we loved that we might not see again. And then the day came that we had decided we'd go, and we left.
How did you explain it to your children?
Well, fortunately, because they were so little, they were only three, two, and one, we didn't have to do a heap of explaining. But in saying that, my 3-year-old was quite upset, and she didn't exactly know what was going on, but there was a lot of angry people, so kids pick up on that sort of thing. And they made her change her clothes as well, which actually in the beginning she didn't want to do, but as soon as she got to put on a pretty dress, she was happy as, so she was fine.
Liz, if I can come back to you, this is the point that you see so many people who have come out of Gloria Vale. What is your observation of the sorts of things that people are angry about? I mean, how important, for example, is it that people who've been brought up and have been wanting to live their lives as honestly as possible, when they discover they've been lied to, it feels to me like the way Rosanna's talking about it, it's almost a moral injury.
That's the right word. I was going to use that word. Yes, it is. Anger is a really natural reaction for people who have left high control groups, but anger is just a secondary emotion. Sitting under that anger is grief and loss, and there are a lot of other things under that layer. But it's really actually quite important that they're able to express that. And you often get people inside the cultic groups claiming the people who have left, they're bitter. They're bitter. It's the only word they can think to call them. And I like to challenge that and say, no, I really don't see many bitter people who have left Gloria Vale. I see upset, hurt, wounded, abused, grieving people who have emotion and are beginning to experience emotion. In a group like Gloria Vale, you're shut down emotionally. That's kind of like survival tactic. And so after you leave, you're able to reflect, you get some sleep, you can think again. Your brain starts to light up. And with that comes just some more emotional regulation, which hasn't occurred inside the group. And so the more then as leavers talk to each other and they realize the similar stories and the things they were lied to and the entrapment that they were in, yeah, it's a very legitimate response and a very important one. We're not afraid of that anger.
Liz Gregory and Rosanna Overcomer are my guests this morning here on Saturday morning on RNZ National with Susie Ferguson. We're speaking about the documentary series they feature in. It's called Escaping Utopia, about Gloria Vale, airing on TVNZ. Why is this not being treated as a human rights issue, do you think?
Well, this is tough. I don't know whether governments feel like human rights issues aren't something they can be involved in. We can't get to the bottom of it. We think that they think religious rights sort of trump human rights in some way, but we would challenge that. We think there's just in New Zealand a complete lack of understanding, to be honest, around where this kind of group sits. And that's why the court cases were important, the employment court cases. This was alerting the government to the fact that this might actually be looking a little bit like forced labour or perhaps servitude or perhaps even slavery. And Gloria Vale's now under investigation for those issues, criminal investigation. But why did it have to get to that extent? Why did leavers have to alert the government to that? Why did they have to take action through the court process? I find that incredibly disturbing because this has happened all over the world. So there are templates of this elsewhere. So why did New Zealand have to sit back and think that it was just okay to let Gloria Vale be just in their quiet wee world? I find it abhorrent.
Because there are court cases, as you mentioned, that have been ongoing for years connected to Gloria Vale. But I guess they're all sort of a piecemeal approach, isn't it? Because there was the one most recently about slavery, and then there have been previous ones about abuse and that kind of thing. But it's not quite tinkering around the edges because it's much more than that. But it isn't a kind of an overarching approach that's being taken.
It's taken years. It's been 9 years since the charity services and a government department first started looking into Gloria Vale. They've taken years to even get it, to understand it, or be interested in it. And so, in the end, the piecemeal approach was because it takes courage for someone to leave a group like that, to find their voice and be brave enough to go and participate in court action. That's huge, massive. that slow, piecemeal. Who's got the money? Leavers don't have the money to fund court cases. The government certainly isn't in batting for them. And so where do you find justice in our country? And so, yeah, the piecemeal approach appears to be, there's been some incredible success. And the criminal court is just completely different. It's hard for the police to get convictions. It's hard for people to speak up about wrong. It's hard to get a witness inside Gloria Vale to come and testify. And so, the road to justice for a cult survivor is long and slow and extremely painful.
Rosie, from your perspective, how did you begin to figure out your life on the outside, where you didn't have the constraints placed on you?
How did I begin? Probably was forced to because I had children that needed a life. But it just, I think the first thing I had to actually deal with was what I believed and what I didn't. So what I could hold on to from my past life and what I wanted to let go. And I knew right from the beginning that I didn't want to let everything go, that I didn't, want to throw the baby out with the bathwater sort of thing. But I wasn't sure what was good and what wasn't. And so that was really my first goal as an individual and then as a mum as well, to understand what I believed and why. Because I had never known why I believed what I did. It just was what I was meant to believe. And that I knew that right early on. I knew that before I left that I had to figure that out. And so that's what I started doing. Yeah.
What sort
Took me a
of,
long time.
yeah, I was going to say, how do you do that? How do you go through that kind of a process where you've maybe not been taught to think about what you believe? You've just been told to believe what you're meant to believe.
I think the biggest thing for me was reading the Bible on my own for a start, and knowing that if God was real, that I could understand it, and I didn't need the leaders to interpret it for me. That was a big thing, and then I think finding other people that showed to us that they were good people by their actions. That then we could actually have conversations with them and feel safe to have those conversations, get advice, even just asking people what they thought or what their opinions were to see that there were different opinions on things, and not only one right way for everything. Because we grew up in a very black and white world, you're in or you're out, and to see that there was a lot more complexity, and people believe different things, and just because they actually believe different things doesn't mean they don't get on. So yeah, building a network of people, which I wasn't great at either, but yeah, that we could actually chat to and get advice from or just have safe conversations with.
What kind of reaction did you get from people when you're making those first steps, when you're, trying to build those relationships and your life outside Gloria Vale? Would you tell people that you'd left Gloria Vale? And what was the reaction that people would have to you?
We never felt like we would tell people straight up, but it never took long for people to figure out that something wasn't quite right. And I mean that in the way, like, I can tell this story. So when we first went to the church that we met Liz at, we went to an evening service, and I've been told the story so many times. One of the elders there saw me at the back, and he told his wife that she had to come and talk to me after the service finished because I was the saddest woman he had ever seen. And I didn't think I walked in there looking sad. That wasn't my intention at all. But he could see it written all over my face. And so I think people. And the other strange thing was, is we thought that everybody knew about Glorievale. This is 11 years ago, and actually a lot of people didn't in New Zealand. And when they'd say things like, oh, where are you from? And we might say the West Coast or whereabouts on the West Coast, and then would say, you know, you get to Glorievale and they, oh, what's that? And so then actually having to explain that became quite hard. So often we just wouldn't, yeah, would make something up. We'd just say we're from a farm in the Haupiti Valley. Yeah.
Yeah, Liz, from your perspective, the sort of first steps, that practical help that people need, just talk us through, because I guess I've seen you, I think it's in the documentary actually, you say, you know, it's like people are refugees when they come out.
That's right. Yes, that would something leavers tell me often is they feel like aliens. And so I'll use their own description there. What they mean by that is I've literally come from another culture, another planet, and I've come without a backpack. And I've landed in this land that's not so familiar to me. So that's what they mean by alien. And I guess that's part of the refugee picture, but the refugee picture isn't quite complete, because a refugee may have had a life that was their own prior to coming to a new country. They may have had their own sort of personality, who they were, their values. And yes, there has been some trauma and something that's made them exit their country. And so we can pick the parallel up again with the refugee when we just look at their practical needs, where they've arrived and they're needing help with jobs, housing, bank accounts, phones, just everything practical you need. That's where the refugee picture is helpful. But it doesn't take into account the building up of a brand new person that will emerge after leaving a cult. And so, yeah, the practical, yeah, it's a lot of effort and work. You're liaising with multiple government agencies. I mean, have you ever tried ringing the 0800 line for MSD to try and get someone who's just left Glorievale onto a some sort of support benefit, just temporarily? So we learned that we needed to have our own contacts in there who became familiar with the Glorievale concept and all its little intricacies. So we didn't have to explain it again and again and again to the brand new person on the end of the government phone line. So this is the sort of work we spent years doing, building up an understanding of how to help someone leaving Glorievale. We don't want to be the only group helping people leave Glorievale. We need to have multiple lots of people across this country who are familiar and able to meet those needs quickly, because it's extremely unsettling for the person who's left to wander around just being unsure without a roadmap.
And is it part of the picture that people sometimes return because it's too hard?
Yes, not often. There are times where people have gone back. There have been some singles that have gone back. They felt like they were a bit young and wanted to establish their relationship with their family a bit better. There have been the odd person that's gone back with say, children, and then often they come out again within a few short days or weeks, to be honest. So it's probably, what do you reckon, Rosie? 98% who leave, they're still out today.
Yeah, I'd say easily 98%, yeah. There's very few that go back and actually stay back, yeah.
Because you've got perspective now and you can see things. There's something about having a good 2 or 3 weeks of sleep, to be honest.
Yeah, the sleep thing is, I mean, that's a well-known way of breaking people down, is to give them very short amounts of sleep. And I think right at the beginning of the first episode of the documentary, Rosie, you talk about you didn't realise that 4 hours sleep was not the regular amount.
No, I didn't. I think in addition to that, with the short sleep, again, it becomes a spiritual issue, and working in service for the community is a godly thing. So the more you work, the more godly you are. And it's not so much then put on, you should only have a little bit of sleep. It's more that if you're sacrificing yourself in your sleep, then you're more godly. So that's kind of the fuel behind for me, and I know lots of other people growing up there, that's where you get into this habit of sleep being a really unnecessary thing.
Rosie's hit on something huge there. In Gloria Vale, everything practical is spiritual. There is no distinction. There aren't these little circles of your life. Then you can categorize, that sort of the practical side of my life or the family side, and that's my education side. Look, everything has a spiritual overlay, and that's why it's called spiritual abuse, because your spiritual faith is used as a weapon against you on multiple issues all day, every day. And when you come out of Gloria Vale and you realize that people who have a faith, it actually informs their faith and it makes them more caring and loving and empathetic, you start to look at Gloria Vale with a different through a different lens. You go back in there and you see it.
Speaking about Gloria Vale this morning on Saturday Morning with Susie Ferguson here on RNZ National, Escaping Utopia is the documentary series that is airing shortly on TVNZ. I'm speaking with my guests, Liz Gregory and Rosanna Overcomer. Rosie, I mean, you've been out for some years now. How did you sort of deprogram, if that's the right word? How did you deprogram yourself? How did you... I mean, for example, did you need psychological help to come to terms with the enormous upheaval, the huge change that so many of us would never experience in our lives, but which you did experience?
I don't know if I've ever called it deprogramming, and that's not that it's the wrong term, but in my mind, I was unlearning and relearning. And so I was unlearning all the bad habits, all the bad life skills, and relearning better ones. And yes, I have needed some therapy along the way, and it's been really helpful in my situations. And that can actually be a really tricky thing to get to as well. And again, with in Gloria Vale, it's a spiritual issue. If you need help, then you don't have enough faith. You're not good enough. And so, yeah, that wasn't a quick thing for me to come to ask for help. But it has been really helpful, and some of the therapists I've had have been great. Most of them have. And it's more about finding someone that you don't have to explain your whole culture to, which is actually really hard in New Zealand. And for them to understand the power of control that, the effect that can have on an individual. But yeah, I've definitely needed help, support, advice, all along the way. And again, I think my goal was always to understand my own values, my own beliefs, and why I had them. And so that has been my feel the whole way too, as to growing as a person. So,
Do you have any contact with your family, with your friends within Gloria Vale at all?
I do. Well, not with my friends. Not all of my friends. Some of them have left, but I've tried to have contact with some of the ones still in there, and they won't talk to me. But yeah, I do have a bit of contact with my family, and that is getting better. It's definitely improving. It has improved a lot over 11 years. But again, it comes from me. So if I don't push it, it wouldn't happen. But in saying that, they're a lot more receptive and have been, yet that's been growing over the time. Yeah.
Do you know how they view you as someone who left?
I don't know if they would actually say this now, but they definitely said it for a long time after we left. I would be viewed as someone who had given up my faith. I had given up the truth, and now I had given myself over to the devil for the devil to destroy. And ultimately I am going to hell and taking my kids to hell as well. Yeah.
How do you process that? Like, how do you deal with it?
It can come in waves. and it can you could be angry about it sometimes. But I think the biggest thing to process and understand is that it's not the truth. And that if they are saying that about you, you would have said it about you yourself, you know. If somebody else had left, you would have said it about them too. And so it's about the control that they're under or a belief that they've been made to believe that actually isn't true and it's actually a lie. So for me, it was understanding that that was a lie and I didn't have to be under that anymore. Yeah.
I'm interested that perhaps you're seeing a change in attitude, though. Do you have any hopes that perhaps your family might follow your lead and leave?
I always have hope that my family will get freedom and live the lives that they should be living or could be living, and be the individuals that God's actually created them to be, because I believe that everybody has immense gifts that God's given them, and people in Gloryvale get that all taken away from them. So yes, I have hope. That's what keeps me going. I have hope for better things and a better future for my family and friends in Gloryvale. Yeah.
And Liz, you want to see an end to Gloryvale. Do you take any flack for doing what you do, for helping people who leave?
Oh, look, I think 90% of the country think it's a great service that's on offer for Gloryvale leavers. And yeah, there's a small portion who would be upset. You said that I want an end to Gloryvale. I certainly want an end to a system of coercion, control, abuse of all kinds. And so I guess if there was reform in Gloryvale, it wouldn't look like we currently have, and it would be the end of that kind of Gloryvale. I think there's no place for that in our society. And from a faith perspective, it's an embarrassment to me, to Christianity, to have the group of Gloryvale sitting there, you know, purporting to be Christians. So yeah, there are a lot of motivating factors. Look, I think that it won't be us, or no one will make the decision to end Gloryvale, likely. It may end up being a court action from leavers. There's no mechanism really for Gloryvale to be just shut down like that. And so, yeah, it's not something that we can think on or make happen. But I think on the whole, most of our society thinks that people leaving Gloryvale is a good thing. And I fully agree. I think there is a better life. I love what Rosie said. You have hope that someone can live a better life. And we're going to do whatever we can for as long as we need to make sure that those leaving get the help and support they need.
A final word to you, Rosie. An extraordinary story, an extraordinary life. Do you have any regrets about leaving?
No. None. Yeah, that was an easy answer. Easy question.
And that is Rosanna Overcomer, and I was also speaking with Liz Gregory there. Escaping Utopia premieres tomorrow night at 8:30 on TVNZ, on TV1, also on TVNZ+. It continues on Monday and Tuesday.